reading to you from the second chapter of James and with the 14th verse. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ. Well, this coming week, it'll be 56 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God surprised me and called me to preach. Now, I've tried very desperately hard to preach. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've probably made a lot of enemies. I don't want to make enemies. I want people to come and fall in love with Christ. You know, that's your only way into heaven. You can't get into heaven without Jesus. You can't circumvent him. Well, anyway, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Kind Heavenly Father, tonight I ask your blessing upon this message. Precious Lord, there are so many troubled people in the world today. Many of them are troubled because they don't know Jesus. They don't know where they're going when they die. And many believe that once you die, that's it. But we know that's not true. Now, Father, I pray for that hurting man, that hurting woman tonight, that you will put your arms of love around them, draw their hearts to you, Lord, so that they might look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, in Jesus' name, amen. We've named this message, Three Great Words for the Journey. I'm reading in Exodus, the 15th chapter, first verse. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, he was hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army was cast into the sea, and the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep covers them. They went down into the depths like a stone. The right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellence thou dost overthrow those who rise up against thee. Thou dost send forth thy burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. And at the blast of thy nostrils the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deep were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Friends, Moses and his people have miraculously crossed the Red Sea. And I've said this so many times. They got to the Red Sea and the people said, "What in the world? Now we are trapped. Here Pharaoh's army's after us and we've got no way to get across that water because we can't walk on the water." But Moses, following the instructions of God's Holy Spirit, he wouldn't held up his hand and the sea parted. And the children of Israel went over on dry land. My stars, that must have been something. I don't believe that. Well, I believe it. God said it, and I sure believe it. Well, here come old Pharaoh. Boy, they were going to kill those. They're going to finally catch up and kill those Israelites. But when they got in the middle of the sea, the Bible says the ocean swallowed them. Friends, let me tell you what. Have you ever done any fishing? Well, I'm not a great fisherman, but I've done a lot of fishing in the Aleutian Islands and other places. But I'll tell you, my friends, you're out here in a trout stream and you're fishing for speckled trout or brook trout, and that rascal comes up there and takes a nibble on your bait. Well, you set the hook and you reel Mr. Fish in. Well, that's exactly what happened to Pharaoh. They just kept going against God, and pretty soon, my friends, they paid for their sin. God killed them. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Israel's deliverance from slavery pictures our salvation. Now, here we were, slaves to sin and Satan. Now, I used to smoke like a steam engine and drink like a glutton. Oh, I'm in a way, friends, and I hope you don't misunderstand me. I'm so glad, though, that I had to go through alcoholism because I do not believe I would have had the compassionate heart that I do on alcoholics or sinners of all sorts. I'm not just interested in alcoholics. I'm interested in anybody that's lost. And if you're not saved, my Bible said you're lost. If you've not come to the place in your life when you realize that you are a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, and you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life and receive him, then my Bible says you can be born again, just like Nicodemus said. Verily, verily, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot. He cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, when you're a slave to sin, you really don't think much about Jesus. But dear friends, you know, I was raised in a Christian home, and I knew right from wrong. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a hell. What I didn't know was that God loves alcoholics, or I didn't know that God loves sinners, period. But he does. Maybe you're in that condition tonight. You think, "Man, I've done everything rotten, everything wrong. I've been a liar, a cheat, a crook. Surely God can't forgive that." Well, you remember Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector and crooked and corrupt like our government is today. And when he got saved, he went back and gave the money back. Now, that was a good sign of salvation. We've been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Now, you people who believe in baptism as regeneration, I want you to know there's not enough water in the oceans, in the seas, anywhere else to wash away one sin from your soul. Only the precious blood of Jesus can wash away your sins, make them as white as snow. after you've been born again. Then he writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life. And there it will be until you stand before Jesus and give an account for your life. You say, well, wait a minute. You mean to tell me, Cecil, I've lived a good life. I'm good to my wife and my family. I pray. And yes, and I go to church on occasions. And once in a while I read the Bible. You mean to tell me that I'm not headed for heaven? Well, if you've not been born again, you sure aren't. You remember Cornelius? And that guy was a fine fella. He gave to the poor. He prayed always. But he was lost. So was Nicodemus. Well, the Lord knew he was lost, but he loved him like he loves you tonight. Now, if you're lost tonight, he loves you. Now, he came to seek and to save that was lost. Well, the Lord spoke to Peter and said, Peter, you go down there and tell Cornelius how to get saved. And he did. He went down there and led Cornelius and his family to Christ. See, Nicodemus was religious too, but his religion was wrong. He did. Well, you know, it's just like a man wrote and sent my wife and I a book. He's a Seventh-day Adventist, I told you, law keeper. Well, friends, if you're planning on getting into heaven by the law, I've got a flash for you. You ain't headed. You cannot, you will not be justified by the law. Ye must be born again. Well, he thinks he's going to get there because he keeps the law. And you can't keep the law. You can't even keep the Ten Commandments. Show me one man that keeps the Ten Commandments, and I'll show you a polka dot bullfrog. No, they can't be. Well, now the Israelites have a difficult journey ahead. And let me tell you, beloved, the Christian life is not easy, but it's a journey. Now, there are many trials along the way, and we have great words for the journey. Celebrate, innovate, and dedicate. Oh, friends, listen to me. Do you celebrate when a Christian dies and you go to the funeral? Do you go there with a long face, or do you go there to celebrate that person's life? Oh, I remember the day I preached Reverend Tom Baird's funeral in Roanoke, Virginia. Just 10 minutes before the service was to begin, the preacher backed out and said, Cecil, I can't preach Tom's funeral. You'll have to do it. Well, now, nobody is so smart that they can just pop a sermon off their head. But you know what God laid on my heart? Tell them what this man did for you. Oh, that was so easy. Here's a man was sound asleep in his bed at 3 a.m., never and planning on getting a phone call, but here's an old drunk man on the line crying and said, I'm going to take my life. I've got nothing to live for. I'm losing my family. He said, son, you don't have to take your life. Please, if you're sober enough, come to my home. If you're not, stay where you're at and I'll come to your side. How many preachers in the world would do that today? I tell you, I remember when my two brothers were lost, I would call preachers because I was living away from them. I'd call preachers and say, would you go see my brother? They're both lost. No, they wouldn't go. No, they wouldn't go. Finally, when my brother was dying of cancer in the hospital, one preacher decided he'd go see my brother, and he walked in and said, oh, are you the one dying of cancer? Wasn't that a nice approach? Needless to say, he didn't introduce my brother to Christ. Well, talking about celebrate, Then Moses and the son of Israel sang the song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Oh, friends, Pharaoh, chariots and his armor, he cast into the sea. Well, they sang Moses and the children of Israel. These deliverer ones had many things to celebrate. You know why? They're no longer slaves. Their enemy has been destroyed. Let me ask you, friends, are you a slave to sin tonight? Is that little 2-inch cigarette, is that thing a slave to you? Do you have a slave of anger? You know, friends, and I hate to admit this, but it's true, and any one of you who are diabetics know it's true. We do have mood swings. I can't explain them. I never guess I never will. But my stars in the morning, I can be going along real fine. And all of a sudden, a little depression will come, and I'll feel so down, so whipped. And that is why I ask all of you listeners to pray for me and my wife. I sure do. And I do appreciate it. Oh, don't you think I don't? Because I believe in prayer. I pray for lots and lots of people. And my ex-pastor, Dale Freeman, in the church out there in Oregon, has a worldwide ministry. My stars in the morning. I've called him day and night for people to pray for. And they've done it. And they've got it raised up. When I went to the hospital to first time with the COPD, couldn't breathe, and I called and had him remember to pray for us, and I was only in the hospital 2 days, and God restored my bear. Well, what was I in the hospital for? Well, I didn't go there because of my health. Well, I did actually, but I went there to witness and tell men and women about Jesus. Well, they are on their way to the promised land, and they chose to count their blessings and celebrate. Friends, let me ask you, when is the last time you just sat down, bowed your head, and started thinking about what the Lord did for you since the day you were saved? You got so many blessings you can't even, I don't care how bad things are tonight. You might be losing your home, your car. You might be losing your job. Maybe you have cancer. They tell you you're going to die. But you've got something to praise him for. The day you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord, come into my heart and save me. Well, we need to count our blessings. Moses led them in giving glory to God, not to him. Now, Moses reminded them the Lord was their strength. What do we have to celebrate? Well, our sins have been forgiven. We are justified and on our way to heaven. God has promised to be with us all of the way. You say, well, Cecil, boy, I don't know. Oh, sure he is. But you know, you got to stop and recognize him. Yes, sir, you've got to stop and recognize him. And I've told you this many, many times, and I'll tell you that again. Don't forget to tell him you love him. He loves to hear that. You know, my little 3-year-old granddaughter says, I love you, Papa. Oh, my stars, and my heart just melts. Because I love her so much. I love all my grandkids. The other morning, my grandson, who was 6, he stayed all night with his grandma and grandma in the basement. That's his, see, I'm his great-grandfather. And he come in and he told me, he said, you know, Grandpa, I have a friend in school. Her name is Rachel. And did you know what she did? I said, no. What did she do? Well, she come up and said, I like you, Luke. Would you like to come out and play with me in the playground? And his face got as red as a beet. I said, well, what did you do? Well, I didn't know what to do. I said, Luke, you know why she likes you? Because you're a good little boy. You are a good little boy, and you love Jesus, and to hear him ask the blessing, the table will turn your heart. It's a wonderful thing. Well, now let's use the word innovate. Verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. Oh, friends, listen. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing. You say, oh, Cecil, I told you don't know my situation. No, I don't know your situation, but the Lord does. And you say, but I'm not important. Well, yes, you are. If you're a child of the King, you're very important. He said, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Well, the Israelites encountered their first serious problem on the journey. The people ran out of water. When they found water, guess what? It was bitter. Sometimes bitter experiences make bitter people. They begin to complain. Moses went where to turn in trouble. So should we. God has an innovative solution to the water problems. Moses was to cast a tree into the water to make it sweet. This was a new approach for Moses, but it worked. We ought to be innovative in evangelism and problem solving. Our innovation should always be rooted in inspiration or the Word of God. God's solution to our problems will always involve the cross. Well, now let's talk dedication. Verse 26 and 27. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and do what's right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Then they came to Elim, where there was 12 springs of water, and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Oh, friends, there's nothing like going out camping and finding a fresh, green, cool water and a nice, cool breeze. Oh, my mom, my dad, and my sister, my cousin, the Dixons, used to go to Mount Washington, and we'd go huckleberry picking. We'd camp out there by the ice caves. Oh, what a joy. I remember my cousin and I, we were going around a tree, around this bush, picking huckleberries. And guess what we met on the other side? A bear doing the same thing. Well, I left mine and I left that place. I took off like a herd of turtles. Well, listen, Moses called his people to a new dedication, verse 26. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptian, for I, the Lord, am your healer. You know, I pastored 3 churches before I went into full-time evangelism and into radio. And I want you to know, I would always give an invitation after every message. I didn't care if I knew everyone was Christian, I gave an invitation. Not just for the lost, but I gave an invitation for those who needed to dedicate or rededicate their life to the Lord. See, sometimes we get going so fast, we forget the Lord, and boy, oh boy, pretty soon he's going to get a hold of you. Well, I say, come and rededicate your life. Ask the Lord to forgive you, so he'll give you back the joy. Well, many responded, and you could see a real change in their lives. Today, many do not even give an invitation to church. I got a friend over here, goes to this big church. They don't give an invitation. They don't care. They don't care if they go to hell. Well, he said, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. Do that which is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes. Healings and blessings would follow their dedication. We cannot expect God's blessing apart from our full dedication. Let me ask you, have you started on your journey? Have you been saved? God wants to meet you where you are and travel with you. Oh, what a wonderful traveling companion. God's great words for the journey will help along the way. You say, Cecil, I do have a tugging at my heart tonight. I know that I'm a Christian. I've been born again, but I haven't been living for Jesus. Come back to the Lord. Rededicate your life. You'll be a changed person, I'll guarantee you. Well, if you've got a tugging at your heart tonight and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, I urge you to pray the most powerful prayer ever known, and I'll lead you in that prayer right now. Please don't pray it unless you mean it. Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I'm lost. I'm sorry, dear Lord, for my sins. Tonight, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone, call 303-471-8534. And I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money, because I don't do that. Don't care where you go to church, but I am concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Touched me and made me this blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. Oh, I shall
half hour. Your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening, and I thank you so much for praying for me and my wife and our prison ministries. You know, it's such a joy to sit down in my studio here and talk about my Savior, tell you what he can do for you. I'm not here promoting Cecil, I'm promoting Jesus. Well, friends, listen, keep us in your prayers. And you say, well, do you pray for us? Sure do. I don't know your name, but God knows your name. And I say, Lord, pray for my red listening family. And he will. And God blesses, I mean. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. He's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.